Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today I have a great guest on. I have talked with him a few times. I had him at my conference, and he's got a lot of knowledge with the subject we're going to be talking about, which is about the Sasquatch people. And so, Kiwoni, welcome to the show.
Yes, yes. Hi, Nancy. So good to have me on the show.
Now, Kiwoni, you have a few degrees, because here, and I'm going to do this for a reason, because people are going to listen to this show, and they're going to go, oh, this man is a kook, okay, which is normal. But you have many degrees behind you. You're also a master herbalist and a master dowser, and your background is anthropology, psychology, conservation, and holistic healing. So, I mean, there's many, many degrees, and if people want to know about your degrees, they can go to your website, which is SasquatchPeople.com. But Kiwoni, let's talk about you first, and then we're going to talk about your book and all the things that you've done. But let's talk about you, Kiwoni. How did you get started with what you're doing?
Well, it started actually 55 years ago. I was very precocious as a boy, and I wasn't out there playing football or running around. I was always reading, taking books out of the library, two or three at a time. Spent all my time in the woods hunting, fishing, and trapping. This is back in the 50s when trapping was more acceptable and everything. When you're raised that way, you do what your father does and what you're taught. And as time went on, of course, I didn't want to do any of that, but I had all these wilderness skills. And I read an article my dad used to buy the Stag magazine, which had all these hunting articles in it, and about Africa, about hunting bear, and all these different things. And they had an article on Sasquatch. And I read it, and I started writing to British Columbia and around the Harrison Hot Springs area, and getting letters back trying to do research and understand what these beings were. And I believed from the very beginning that they were a people and definitely not animals. So I didn't know at the time that I would be projecting that into the universe, into the forest, and therefore not viewing them as monsters or animals or some other malicious kind of being. So at age 14, I had with a friend, 14 and 15, two different encounters in western Massachusetts at the edge of the Berkshire Mountains. And I was raised there and in southern Vermont. We had a 122-acre estate in the wilderness up in southern Vermont. So I was very fortunate to be raised in that situation. And the encounters that I had were not visual. It was at night on the side of a hill next to these woods. We had sleds and were going down sledding in the moonlight. And we heard, the snow was very, it was very cold and very crunchy, and we heard the walking of a giant man. You could tell because of the gait how it came back down, walking towards us. And I mean, it was not normal. It had to be someone 8 or 10 feet tall. And this is what they do, though. I, of course, didn't know that at the time. And my friend looked at me, and I said, "What is that?" And I said, "It doesn't sound like a regular man." And my friend looked at me and said, "God, I bet it's the Abominable Snowman." And we turned and ran all the way home. And I thought of that. I said, "He's right." But, of course, that's ridiculous. So I buried it. And a year later, it happened again. And when I later was living in England, I climbed the two highest mountains in Great Britain, Ben Nevis in the Scottish Highlands, and Mount Snowdon in Wales. And I was nearly killed on both mountains. But when I got to the top, I had three people with me, the top of Ben Nevis. It was a 65-degree day. In November, but we got to the very, very top. It was flat, and it was had 3 inches of snow. And it was in a fog bank, the most unusual fog bank I've ever seen. In other words, you take two steps into it and you disappear. The person's outside. There's absolutely no fog. It's just like going through a door to another world. And nobody wanted to go in there. I had three other friends with me, and they were kind of throwing snowballs and stuff. And I was, I believe, 21 years old at the time. And I walked in and started investigating, and I looked and I realized I was right at the edge of a chasm, a cliff that I could be killed. And I backed off and I stood there and I looking at it, and I said, gee, I'm not going to walk around in here. I'll walk off a cliff here. And all of a sudden I heard the same sound again of a giant man walking towards me real slow in the snow. And I thought, what? There's nobody there. And I backtracked by looking at my tracks and got back to my friends, and I could hear them at a distance talking and laughing. And I told them, and they said, that's ridiculous. They said, there's nobody up here. When we took hours to get to the top, there's nobody here, and there's no footprints going in, so it can't be. And I said, come on inside here. So the four of us went in and went back to where I was, and we stood there listening, and sure enough, this giant man slowly started walking towards us, and we looked at each other. Everyone looked scared, and we turned and quickly exited and got out of the fog bank. And everyone, I said, what was that? And my roommate at the time was from Eureka, California, and he says, it's Bigfoot. And I said, that's ridiculous. They're only in the Pacific Northwest. Now, this was in 1965, so back then there was almost no information, and I don't believe there was even one book out. Wait a minute, there was. There was one book out, I think, that came out at that time by Ivan T. Sanderson in 1961. But that was really, there really wasn't anything out there. So everyone thought they were only in the Pacific Northwest, and of course they're all over the world, everywhere, even on some of the islands in the South Pacific. There's seven different races of them, I was told. But the interesting thing is, in 1990, I picked up a Fate magazine when I was living in Roseburg, Oregon, and there on the front cover it said, Encounters with the Big Gray Man of Scotland. And I thought, what? And I read the article, and it just described what I experienced. And I said, these are interdimensional beings, and they somehow either are living there or followed me. And there's never been any sightings that I'm aware of. And then as of the last 20, 25 years, there's reports in Ireland, in Scotland, in Britain. So they're everywhere. So it wasn't till later, several years later, that when I left England, I moved to Ethiopia, East Africa. And then later I decided, 2 years later after that, decided I was going to backpack around the world and do some investigating. So I went to over 40 countries, and one of the places I went to was the Kingdom of Nepal, and spent almost 3 weeks up in the Himalayas and investigating, talking to Tibetan monks up in their monasteries. And I went to the University of Kathmandu to talk with a physical anthropologist that had done research on the Yeti. And so I continued, and eventually I started going on small expeditions in the United States and Canada, and then larger ones. And generally every year I go on 2 to 3 expeditions, but as of lately, there's so many of them coming to my cabin here, sometimes on a daily basis. I live in the forest, in the deep forest here, in about 50 miles northeast of Seattle, in the foothills, and they're here all the time. So my life has not been the same since, because in 1979, I received the shock of my life when a ET and a Sasquatch talked to me. And I was not afraid. I was just stunned. They spoke to me telepathically. And at the time, I was an administrator working with the First Nation, the Native American people, and I was a top administrator with them, and I was working part-time as a hypnotherapist, and I had been lecturing at the Medical College of Wisconsin. So I was very ill-prepared for all this psychic stuff, and I went in and out of denial for 2 years while I was having more experiences. And finally, at the end of the 2 years, I just said, well, just let go. It's real, and stop denying it, and just work with it. Go with the flow. See where it takes you. And in the meantime, as I had more experiences, I've written 2 books, the Psychic Sasquatch and Their UFO Connection, that came out in 1998, and my latest one that came out 3 months ago, The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection. And people can go to thesasquatchpeople.com to look at my website or to order either of the books or to contact me if they wish to discuss this or if they've had experiences and need some help with it.
Now, Kiwoni, in your book, your latest book, you talk about the 4 different types of Sasquatch that are in North America. Can you tell the people what they are and maybe describe them a little bit? So, because I really believe people have many, many encounters with different things, but I think that they stay in a state of denial, just like you tried to do for a long time.
Yes.
And they don't want to come out because they don't want people to think that they're weird or they're strange or they're making up stories just to get a headline. So I do believe there's many, many encounters. So if you can describe the 4 that you, you know, have decided in North America, that would probably help out some people.
Yes, there's what we call, you know, the Bigfoot or Sasquatch. In every Indian tribe all over, the North America, Central America, and South America, all the different tribes of Indians have their own name for the Sasquatch types in their area. So it's nothing new at all, absolutely nothing new. And they are giants, 7, 8, 10, 12, even up to 15. They've been seen up to 15 feet tall and even some more than that, no matter how unbelievable that seems. One was an attorney that saw a 19-footer, and he took a picture at a distance, and I have that picture. And when he told me, I kind of said, well, he's exaggerating. But he measured it. He went after it, the Sasquatch left. He measured the trail beside the tree it was standing behind, even though it could not hide itself. And it's a beautiful silhouette. It's in the daytime. And it was 6 feet wide. And he used that, and it came out to 19 feet. He doubted it himself, even though he knew it was gigantic. And he went to a professor friend of his that was a mathematician. And he told him, you know, how large the trail was, how wide it was there beside where the Sasquatch stood, and he calculated it, and in a few minutes he said, well, it's 19 feet tall. So they have long arms, some of them down to their knees. Usually they have a conical-shaped head, or what anthropologists call a sagittal crest, and they have a slight hump on their back. They're not hunched over like some people think. They're standing up straight. But in the upper center part, between the shoulder blades, there's a slight hump, and they don't have a neck. It's set down into their body, their head is. So, and they have hair on the face, and they look somewhat ape-like. Some of them, I've got a picture of one that looks monkey-like, because it has almost like a little round muzzle. But don't be fooled. They're highly evolved beings. They are humanoid, that are more evolved than we are. It's, you know, no different than, and I say in my new book, my second book, and I did make reference to it in my first book, how racially prejudiced people are. We went through that with the horrible slave trade that was in this country, that was in other places in the world, but certainly here, and how we treated the Native American people. I mean, the First Nation people, some of them still, if you're white, they don't want anything to do with you, and I can't blame them. Even though my ex-wife was Navajo, and she considered me Indian because I got the Indian newspapers, and I thought like an Indian, and very environmental conscious, and so forth. At any rate, they are a people and not an animal, like it's been misconstrued by the Bigfoot hunters. So then there's the kind that are called the ancient ones. Now, the ancient ones at a distance look like Sasquatch, but they don't have the conical heads. They have the round heads. They have no hair on the face like the Sasquatch. They have, you know, almost, it's, you know, skin or the face, and some of them have almost like a Hawaiian tone to their skin, and they absolutely look human. But they have hair. The women have hair on their necks even, and down their back, on the breast, everywhere in the body, except, of course, the palms of the hands and bottom of the feet and the face. Their arms are in proportion to their bodies as we are. The same thing. It's proportional. So they don't have the extra long arms that the Sasquatch do. But they also are giants. Then there's those, which is rare, and I do have a picture of one, but they have a muzzle that looks almost like a baboon or even a bear-like face, in a sense. Not a bear, but bear-like, in that they have this muzzle, and it varies on different ones. And they have hair all over their bodies. And then there's the one in Florida they call the skunk ape, which I dislike all these names given to them. But they look so much like an orangutan. And so this leads researchers with an anthropology background, and certainly Dr. Grover Krantz, who taught, we were associates, and he's deceased now, but he taught at Washington State University in Pullman. And he believed that those in China and Florida and some other places that have this auburn hair, this reddish hair on their body, they evolved from orangutans, which is ridiculous. So there's the four types, and the Sasquatch and the ETs told me that that they brought people here. So the ancient ones told me back in the mid 80s, because my communication with them is ongoing, and they said that they were brought here millions of years ago by their friends, the Star People. And I said to them, well, you know, I asked them some more questions, and they said, well, look, you know, they were seated here, they said, before our people, the hairless humans, were seated by the Star People. Well, of course, I come from a Darwinian background in terms of evolution and so on. And yet I believe in God and I pray on a daily basis. But this whole thing threw me at the time, you know, what's he talking about? And then about a year later, a friend of mine sent me a book called The 12th Planet by Zachariah Sitchin, who at age 90 passed away about, I think, 6 months ago or so. And I'd met him several times, and we spoke at the same conferences together. He was a Middle Eastern scholar and a linguist, and he could read and speak many languages, and he could decipher the cuneiforms from Sumeria, which is in Iraq, along the Tigris and Euphrates River. And this is where the story, which is put in cuneiforms, which is almost like hieroglyphics, and he read it like it was. Back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, archaeologists found all this stuff, but if they didn't understand it, they swept it under the rug. And he did not. He was objective. These other people were being, and many of them, most of them are still, are very subjective about all this. But he told it like it is and was scorned for it. But he never backed down because he knew what the truth was, just like I do. I stand in my truth. And but he found in these cuneiforms that were around, some of them, I believe, 6,000, I guess around 5,000 or 6,000 years old, that it showed a map of our solar system, and each planet put in a specific place. Now, how could they ever do that? They had all the planets there, and it had a date on it. So he brought it to a astronomer, and they calculated mathematically where everything is now and then and so forth, and they used a computer, and when they got the results, it was exactly, the planets were in the exact position as they should be at the time of that dated cuneiform. How did they get that? So again, the ET connection here, genetic engineering, and it tells the whole story. I won't get into that, but people should look and read Zachariah Sitchin's materials. He's got 6 or 7 books or so out there now, and that are extremely valuable. It's the real truth, at least from that part of the world, how things got started.
Now, back in 2004, you actually was left a note by an ancient one, and you have it in your book. You know, so I'm sure Kiwoni, a lot of people go, oh, you know, this man is just, you know, talking, you know, through his you-know-what. But in your book, the latest book, The Sasquatch People and the Interdimensional Connection, you have a lot of really good information that would probably make most skeptics take another look at things, even though they may not admit, you know, that they believe it or not because they haven't felt it, smelled it, touched it, or whatever. But you have a lot of very interesting things in your book. And so the first time that you got a note from one of them, the ancient ones, what did you think, Kiwoni?
Well, I was in disbelief, and I said, somebody's playing a trick on me here. So there was a place, I discovered this in northeast Texas. There was a farm family there at the edge of a, let's just call it a wild area, because a lot of the farmland had been, you know, made out of forest, and this was the last of the forest that was there. And they owned some of it and started having experiences, and then they contacted me, and then we started talking on the phone, and eventually they invited me down. So I camped out about 100 yards from their farmhouse in the woods, and it was a setup where if it rained or anything, it did not get on the pad, but there was a pad with a flare pen, and I started writing messages to see what they would do, and they started answering me. But they don't understand longhand. They only understand a printed material, and I printed big, you know, not real big, but they write like a third or fourth grader, but what they write is profound. And some of them don't know how to write at all. It's just a few learn that. And I asked, where did you learn this? And she said, from my grandmother. So I was asking questions, even though they communicate telepathically, for whatever reason, they decided to strictly do it this way at this place. So I wrote something, which I won't share right now, but I wrote something and asked them to leave me something, which I knew that would be almost impossible to do, just to see what they would do. Then I went over to the house and had a couple glasses of iced tea with the lady of the house, and her husband was away at work, and we talked for an hour and a half, and finally I, you know, there was nobody around. She was in the house. I walked back out there, and there was a note, and there was an object they left for me, the exact thing I asked for. And I was absolutely stunned. Her husband worked in a factory, and she ran the farm. It was a small farm, but it was a farm nevertheless. And I had to struggle with it for a while. But I have stacks, actually, and I put 4 of them that had any meaning at all in the book. Many things I asked about myself and so forth, personal things, which they answered. Sometimes it was a little sketchy or whatever, and other times it was absolutely right on. I mean, they're not infallible. They don't know everything. They're not gods or anything, but they're more evolved than we are. So that got me started on that aspect of it. And when I told this young meaning late 20s, from what she had described, because they don't really, from what I understand, don't really celebrate birthdays or anything. They don't really care. But they asked why I wasn't at a certain place where they wanted to come and meet with me. And I said I was there for a while, but my back hurts so bad I had to leave. And I have a ruptured disc that acts up, and I get pinched nerves and things from time to time. And I was in such pain that I left that area. And she said, well, I didn't know that. And so the next time I went back, there was a note for me and three different herbs. Only one of them I was familiar with, and I am a master herbalist. Of course, it's a different part of the country as well, so there's different plants. But she knew those plants, and she told me how to take them and to help my back. So these are people that have been living around us, and there's little people as well. They told me that in October, the first part of October, they have a corn festival, and they get together, the ancient ones with the human faces, get together with the Sasquatch and with the little people, and they feast, and they trade, and they help each other. And I found out where the little people were in that part of the country, which happened to be in southern Oklahoma, just a few miles over the border. And the farmer went to that area, and the first time he was there, he saw one of the little people. He went back two more times, and he had another sighting of one of the little people. So this is real, and this has been going on who knows how long, and they are all interdimensional beings, all of them. They are very physical, and they eat and do things in this world, but they leave tracks, piles of dung, and those kinds of things, but they're also go into other dimensions, and even they can dematerialize and still be there. And I explain this in my new book, The Sasquatch People, in one of the titles called The Hyperdimensional Sasquatch in Quantum Physics. I do not try to teach physics. I did it in a way that everybody can understand, and made references to the top scholars in the world that are physicists that have already discovered this stuff or at the threshold of proving it in quantum physics. And that's exactly what's going on, again, with the psychic Sasquatch.
Which is real important. I'm going to read one of the notes that they left for you. And they called you Dream Man, right?
They referred to me down there as Dream Man, and I asked them why. And a few times they say Kiwoni, but most of the time it's Dream Man. And I asked them why, and they said, oh, because you're a visionary. You can see ahead and understand what's unfolding. And where other people are, have blinders kind of thing. So they said, you're a Dream Man. So anyway, I felt honored that I got a nickname.
Yeah, it says Dream Man. The star people here taking you, and then has a bunch of ones, looks like ones.
Yeah,
cycles.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but they don't know the numbers. They can't make 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. At least this particular female, who was very precocious and interested in us more than some of the others her tribe, but she made 12 lines all in a row. Instead of writing 1 and the 2 for 12. So that's what that is.
Yeah, it says taking you, and then, like I said, it has all the lines, which are 12, cycles forward to new earth, which God has recreated. You have seen great things and given much healing lessons. Your memory of the travel has been erased, but the knowledge is inside you. Use it only for good, not for gain. A star man will travel with you on Metal Bird. You will remember some things when you see him. And then she signs it, God bless you. On the next page of your book, it says, and I don't know who wrote this one, but it says, your world not same as our world. Your time not same as our time. Your space not same our space. A thin cloth hangs between. There's places that open and shut. There is no I or me. We are all one. Each one is part of the whole. What one does, all do. You may see us as Brother Crow or Brother Wolf. Listen to the stones speak to the trees. Right now, what's going on, at least with what people seem to think, is that we are in the process of doing this higher consciousness, which is supposed to be helping us to create ourselves as one. Not you, not me, not, you know, that other person, but as one. So when I was reading your book, Kimoni, it made a lot of sense to me, because there are many people who are very interested in catching a Sasquatch or proving that they're there. But they're so desperate to do that that they're willing to kill them if they get the chance. Now, I would tend to believe that they're psychic enough and can make themselves disappear quick enough that unless they want to have some kind of a trace left or some kind of a way to prove they're there, you're not going to get that until they're ready to give it. Would you say that's pretty true?
Yes, they're what the Bigfoot hunters don't know, because they really, a lot of these people have written two or three books even, and they call themselves experts, but they're not experts. How could anyone be an expert when they never experienced, never even seen a Sasquatch, and yet write about him and say the things that they do? So it's ridiculous. If Jane Goodall had written a book about some primate and made all these conjectures about what it is and everything based on folklore and all that, and then claimed she's an expert at it, she'd be laughed out of the scientific community. So, but this is exactly what these egotists are doing. Many of them are very, very good people. They're just misguided. And they don't understand that the Sasquatch is in control, not them. So when they plan, they lay out a map, and they're planning to go into an area and surround it and set up cameras and go in with guns, they don't even, the researchers are so naive that they don't understand that unwittingly, on an unconscious level, they are projecting their thoughts to the Sasquatch, forewarning them that we're coming to try to get you. So when they go out there, there's nothing there, but if the Sasquatch is busy with something there, they just are a little more on guard and just keep sidestepping them. So if there's any proof to be given or to be gotten, it's going to come directly from the Sasquatch themselves, which they have no interest in doing. They could care less if it's proven. However, recently they have had meetings, tribal meetings, with a council of elders that know all about us, and they teach their children to stay away from the hairless white people that are really crazy, most of them. And they view that. Why would we be labeled crazy? We're destroying the environment. We kill other people. We harm, abuse, and kill people in our own family. We clear-cut the forest. We do mining. We destroy the water table. We're releasing nuclear radiation. All this crazy stuff. We are crazy, if you think of it, because right now the planet's dying, they're saying. So anyway, these researchers just think that they can trick them, but they can't, because they can read their mind, they can dematerialize, they can stand right beside them even, and they wouldn't even know they're there. So this is important to understand. And so in my books, I'm a proponent of love and peace. And it may sound like something out of the hippy-dippy days, but at least the hippies had something good, to focus on. And where today, I mean, there's certain parts of town you don't even want to go in at night because you could get robbed or stabbed or anything. So, you know, people think of things just to hurt other people, different scams and to extort money and hurt people and everything. And I always think of what I can do to help people. So that's why they're more attracted to me than they are, because they came to me and illustrated to me who they really are. And I, you know, this may sound strange, but in the beginning I said, my God, I'll never tell anyone. Oh, boy, I'm not going to tell anyone about this. No one will believe me. But as I communicate, they started communicating with me more. And then when I left Oregon and moved to Arizona, to my, you know, surprise, there they were again, and they followed me everywhere. And then when I got a got married, they came and talked to my wife, and they came and talked to my stepson. So this is interesting. This is fascinating. And once you have your, they consider me an extension of their family. And they refer to me at times as little brother or just brother. And generally, at the end of their conversations, they often say, you know, just know, Kiwoni, we are watching over you and protecting you and that we love you very much. Now, does that sound like a monster to you?
Of course not. See, my thought is exactly as theirs. I mean, we do all these horrendous things, and yet we expect that we are this enlightened group of humans and that other things don't exist outside of our ego, you know, or other things cannot exist in any part of the universe. People are starting to wake up, but the one thing, Kiwoni, that they're going to have to wake up to and understand is that it is love and compassion and trying, excuse me, and the trying to helping everybody else that's really going to pull the human race back together before it's totally destroyed, and also allow Mother Nature, Earth here, to keep going. And until we learn that, we are going to have many, many severe things happen to us. So what they're telling you is not far-fetched. And I'm going to tell the listeners this, Kiwoni, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but if I didn't, it'll be fun for you. We were all at, the people who were on my core committee for the Wake Up Now conference, we're all meeting this one day. And you happened to be trying to get in touch with me, but because I'm in meetings and I turn my phone off, you couldn't. So you called Michael. And it was really funny because when Michael answered the phone, because we were talking about all the different speakers that were coming, he goes, oh, hi, Kiwoni. As soon as he said your name, I kid you not, we had this foul odor that smelled like somebody had passed some heavy-duty gas come into the room with us. I mean, it was hysterical because everybody's looking at each other like, did you do that? And I'm thinking, that's not what that is. That's them coming forward to see if they can trust us for Kiwoni to come to the conference.
Exactly. Exactly. And they do that. And incidentally, three different people, when I was on stage at your conference on May 1st, there in Albuquerque, they saw two Sasquatch standing on each side of me, interdimensionally on stage. So this happens all the time, all the time. They told me as of January 1986 that no matter where I went, traveled, or when I was speaking, that they would be guarding me and protecting me because the information that I'm sharing is that important. So I'm not trying to self-aggrandize. I'm simply, I'm just a messenger. I'm just the messenger. I'm no, big ambassador or anything. I don't have any ego attachment to it. I have a little bit of a sense of pride because I feel, gosh, you know, I must have done something right to have this change my life the way it has. Because out of the 55 years, they've been coming to me now for 32 years. And they give me advice from time to time. They've healed me. Back in January when I had kidney stones, I didn't know it. It hit me so hard at night that I felt a pressure in the afternoon in my kidneys, but I really didn't pay too much attention. I didn't know what it was. And and but I didn't even know it was kidneys. I was busy and I didn't focus on it. And all of a sudden, it's like somebody took a hat pin, a big hat pin, and shoved it into my back. The pain was excruciating. I couldn't even focus on anything. So here I live in a cabin in the middle of nowhere. So I tried everything I could to get some relief, and finally I telepathed to them and asked, what's wrong with me? What is going on with me? I can't believe the pain. And an answer came back, you have kidney stones. And I have, I'm really very diet conscious and health conscious, and I don't eat a lot of junk. And I thought, what the heck, you know? But I'm a master herbalist, and I do a lot of work with people, especially with life-threatening diseases. And I had stuff here, and I used it to give me relief. And then a few hours later, when it that morning, I called a friend and asked him to drive out here, if he would, and pick up these herbs that will dissolve it. And once I started drinking that, it never came back. But they were instrumental in helping me to focus, so I'll know which herbs to use and what for.
So, which I think is, again, it's really important, Kiwoni, that people know about this, because I know everybody wants proof. You know, we're that human species that you have to feel it, touch it, see it, smell it, and the whole bit. But when we were in our group and that smell came through, I thought, yep, they're here, they're checking us out. So, you know, I'm sure he's going to come, but there's going to be a little hesitation with him coming. But I didn't say anything because, you know, people are people, and they don't see or feel the same thing sometimes that other people do. Also, in part of your book, you talk about how the Loch Ness Monster, the Chupacabra, the ETs, the Thunderbirds, the Black Panthers, the Lizardmen, all of those are actually from other dimensions.
That's correct. When instead of dismissing it, and it's really interesting because this happened to me with a professor friend. He had a PhD in psychology and a PhD in anthropology, both. And he was a brilliant man, and we used to discuss things, I mean, intellectually, this is back in the early 70s. I mean, he was just almost like an uncle to me. But when I had my first experience with the Sasquatch people, and I couldn't wait to tell him how real all that was, he started fabricating, subjectively saying, oh, no, what you saw was this. And finally, my voice got more excited. Now, wait a minute now. And I started getting angry. And in other words, he was calling me a liar almost and telling me that I really I was delusional and thought I wanted to see one so bad or experience them that I made all that up out of, you know, little chipmunks making noises or some ridiculous thing that he came out with. And I never spoke to him again after that. Why? Because he would only frustrate me because he had his own belief system. He wasn't taught, you know, by his professors that this was real. And since there's no proof, him applying the outmoded empirical method, because we need a whole new model for empirical model now, because this is a new science. This is a whole new area that quantum physics is measuring. So a lot of people say, if you saw this, it must have been something else, or you must have saw, you didn't see a Thunderbird, you saw an old buzzard there, and that kind of thing. But of course, back in 2002, up in Alaska, here was this airplane with, I think they had five or six people in it, and this gigantic bird that was similar to an eagle, but it did not look like an eagle, and it didn't have any markings. It was as big as the plane. Now, wait a minute. Are these people all nuts, or are they all on drugs or drinking up there or something? Of course not, you know. But these are the silly, ridiculous rationalizations that science and skeptics come up with rather than to listen carefully and learn from them, because science is taught teaches people anecdotal information is worthless. And that is absolutely erroneous statement. If you see a Thunderbird or a Sasquatch or a spaceship or an ET, whatever, a chupacabra, you'll never forget it. Believe me, you'll see the details and you will never forget it in your life. Why? Because it's the most startling, out-of-place thing you, a person sees. So they remember that. It's imprinted in their mind. And so it's very disheartening to many of the experiencers when they're put down, and so many of them start to withdraw and don't want to talk about it, when this is the time to talk about it. The more people that can come out and say, yes, I saw the lizard man in South Carolina, and he was 7 feet tall, and all this other thing, you know, of course, the police are the first to start rationalizing. But they are, when they go out there, when they try to track them down, with dogs or anything, they cannot catch them because they go back through a portal to another world, another parallel world, and there's many different portals that lead to many different places. It's all portals are not the same. Some of these are very, very dangerous. Some you can get caught in them and never come back out. What's on the other side? I don't know. I've asked to be taken, and they did take me one time. But again, they said when I came back, because I came back the same time, that I couldn't remember anything. But I was over there for, I think, either 2 or 3 days. I had forgotten now. And then he left. Well, then I thought to myself, well, what good is it? I asked to be taken, but I wanted to know what's on the other side and experience it and come back and write about it and put this whole thing in perspective. It's still scientific. It's not unscientific to report and to investigate. And that is the job of science, to investigate, to analyze, to psychologize, and to taxonomize, to put in a category as a part of our reality. Well, I don't want science telling me what's real or what isn't, because they're so infantile in what where they're at right now with this these kinds of phenomena, that it'll totally push people into another direction that isn't real.
Well, see, the thing is because we are constantly inundated with false information, the people who really know all of this Kimoni inside have been erased, shut it down, whatever words you want to use. And again, what's coming during these next, I know everybody's worried about 2012, that's nothing. But what's coming during this next 6 years, all the way through 2017, it's going to make a big difference with people waking up, not waking up, staying, not staying, you know, learning what they need to learn, coming from their heart and all of that. And until people again do that, they're going to be like you're saying, you know, they're going to have this idea that, you know, they're going to find something, they're going to kill it so they can prove it, you know, which is just a little ridiculous, you know, but that's kind of, again, how people are, at least for today.
Yes, well,
I think go ahead.
Yes, I mean, they told me about 2012 and so forth, and they told one woman that I'm in touch with down in Oklahoma that for the last few years, last, I think, 3 years, and will continue to about 2016, that our DNA is being restructured. And those people whose thinking and their mindset, if it isn't on a spiritual path, they will not be synchronized or aligned with the changes in their body, because we're evolving, they say. And the remnant DNA or the junk DNA that medical scientists label and say it's just, you know, it has no purpose, that's baloney. Why is it there? Why is it there if there's not a purpose for it? You know, everything has a purpose. And so that will be reawakened, let's just say germinate, and a part of the restructuring from the cosmos. This is happening. And this has happened before. There is proof of this. And how animals adapt under certain circumstances, even some who were carnivorous went and, it's the opposite. One that is a vegetarian becomes carnivorous when moved to a different island. I'm thinking of a lizard that they did that to and followed it, and it didn't take long for it to adapt and literally change within a few months. So cosmically, the Sasquatch said, this is happening to everybody on the planet to move them forward. They said, however, most people are not listening, and that's why they want books out, like my books, and because this ninth and tenth chapter, the last two chapters, talks about the environmental sciences, the things the Sasquatch said about what's happening and what's going to happen. They told one man down in Oregon back in January of this year, 2011, they said, soon many souls will be crossing over. A few souls will be left to repopulate the planet. Now, that doesn't sound like a walk in the park to me. That sounds heavy duty. And then they added, do not be afraid. Do not buy into your fear. Stay close to God, but you still must prepare with food, even water, even, you know, some kind of lighting at night, because you won't have electricity, medical supplies put away, and to leave the cities. The cities are the worst places to be, and they said the deeper into the forest you can go, the more chance of survival you will have. If I sound like Dr. Doom, I'm going to apologize to some degree, because I don't want to be a messenger of doom and gloom, but I must stand in my truth, what I believe and what has happened and what they told me. And in a way, I'm sharing information to help people, not to scare people. Because if it's going to happen and you're ill-prepared, it's going to be worse for you. So you might as well listen to somebody like myself, read some books on it, and put it all in perspective yourself and protect yourself, because money won't be worth anything. You might as well take some of it, a good chunk of it, out of the bank and put it into food and water and different supplies, warm clothing, sleeping bags, a number of different things, because they're talking about a pole flip. And apparently it may generate, 300 or 400 mile an hour winds that would flatten houses and stuff. So,
well, see, Kimoni, the changes have to occur, because it's human nature, at least in our minds, the way they're set, that we have to have some really destructive things before we say, were they trying to give us a message 10, 20, 30 years ago? You know, it takes that destruction in most human makeup at this time to start to pay attention. And so the Earth has been telling us for a long time that we're ruining it, we're destroying it. And you know what? People just kept on. I mean, they call this progress, what we've done. I have constantly called it deprogress. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of people think I'm weird and strange and crazy, and I really don't care, because I'm like you. I live in my truth, and I have to say what I need to say. You know, but people do need to wake up. This is the time. You know, it's not just because it's 2012. It's overdue, and this is the time. We have probably about 10 minutes left, so Kimoni, in 5 minutes, because I want to read something else out of your book as a closing, but I just want to ask you a question. Have they told you anything about Hollow Earth?
No, not specifically, other than there are chambers that go for miles through the under the earth. To what degree, I don't know, but I do know that the ETs and the Sasquatch, of course, the Sasquatch are terrestrial extraterrestrials, they go inside of volcanic dormant volcanoes, which, most big mountains like Mount Rainier and Mount Hood and so forth are in many other smaller mountains. They have small cities inside, or groups of people working on different projects. And they had been here, many of them, for thousands of years inside of these mountains. And so there are some way underground that that they're here. They're mining some of the things here. They said that several times, that they are mining different crystals and stuff that they use for their ships and for technology. And the Sasquatch help in that regard because they're so powerfully strong. So specifically the Hollow Earth, no. But that's a good one. I mean, there's many things I thought of, but when they come and say, oh, we have a message, or I need to tell you that, or when you travel, we will be with you. And before I could say anything, they're gone. So it isn't like I sit around every morning with a list and have coffee with them and start to interrogate them of every single thing. You need to tell me this isn't. Believe me, they're very selective in what they tell people. Even me, they're very selective. So that doesn't work. Like, you know. So anyway, I many things I think of once they appear, I'm thinking of something else, and I don't get to ask them some of these questions. But that is a good one. I can't entirely answer that question.
Okay. I'm going to read something out of your book. And it says, Mother Teresa sums it up best. And I'm going to read it, okay? It says, people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone may destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may just never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and the God. It was never between you and them anyway. That is very, very powerful, that whole little thing I just read, because our human makeup needs to learn that. And they need to understand that this is the way to succeed and this is the way to survive and to make sure that our planet keeps existing. So, Kiwoni, give out your website, the name of your books, and if people want to get a hold of you, the best way to do that.
Okay, and I just want to say one thing. To quote the Dalai Lama, he said, if you see yourself in others, who can you harm?
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, in the Bible, it says, you know, that God is a part of each and every one of us, and therefore, what you do to others, he said, you do to me. So, it's very important that we get outside of ourselves and reach out to other people. My website, if you people are interested, both of my books are there, The Psychic Sasquatch and The UFO Connection, and The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection at sasquatchpeople.com, sasquatchpeople.com. And if people need to email me, it's sasquatchpeople@hotmail.com. They may also call me if they feel more comfortable at 425-844-8409. Once again, 425-844-8409. The books are $18.95, $20 with tax, and $25 to have it shipped. They get an autographed copy. And it's unbelievable. People are coming back and buying 2, 4, 8, 10 books to hand out to other people because they said this book is one of a kind. There's the perspective and all the information on who the Sasquatch people really are is in the book, and it's unbelievable. But the reviews and the response from the public has been just phenomenal.
And one other question before we go, Kiwoni. Because we didn't get to talk about it because, you know, we had too much to talk about with the Sasquatch. But, again, tell people about you being a master herbalist. And just briefly, because we have about 2 minutes left, tell why the herbs for people to use are so much more important than the prescription drugs that they are being shoved down people's throat.
Yes. I mean, I know of no one that's deficient of a prescription drug, that their body needs it. Because it's artificial, but people may need vitamins, enzymes, minerals, amino acids in their bodies to heal them, not artificial drugs. There is no deficiency of those. And plus, of course, the herbs have their own healing chemistry. I'm a master herbalist. I've done work in this field for 35 years as a holistic health consultant. And I had cancer twice, liver cancer, and later melanoma, and I used my own herbs to heal myself. That was in 1990, again in 1996. So I think I made it, and I have no faith, in allopathic medicine, actually. But my point here is that if anyone wants to consult, they can call and just ask some questions. There's no commitment. If they have a problem or a relative or friend and they want to talk to me, I am an expert in alternative medicine. And I'm also, of course, a social scientist and researching the holistic way of doing things. That is, it has to do with lifestyle and adjusting your lifestyle, the food you put in your body and everything. If you put sand in your gas tank and the car doesn't run right, stop putting sand in your gas tank. And so you have to detoxify your car by taking it out, kind of thing. So I use a car as an analogy often, because people take better care of their cars than they do their bodies.
Which is true.
But I'd be happy. I'm very open. If anyone wants to email me or call me, I'm here for people. So I'm very open, even calling me at my home. And so I thank you for having me on your show, and God bless everyone. And I hope they've learned from some of this, and that people can be out of your head more and into your heart, as the Sasquatch would say. Go use your heart energy, not so much your intellect.
Right, and I agree. And Kimoni, thank you for taking the time to be on the show. And I'm sure a lot of people will enjoy it. So, again, thank you for being on the show.
And thank you so much. God bless you.
You're very welcome. And I'd like to let the listeners know that the DVDs from the Wake Up Now conference are for sale. And what it is 16 guest speakers, and Kimoni is one of them. And the price is really not high at all for 16 guest speakers. There are 16 DVDs. The cost is only $80. And you can go to the wakeupnowconference.com to order them, or you can check out the new website that we just put up, www.schoolofnow.org, as to why the conference was going on. So may God bless all of you. Like Kimoni said, get into your heart and out of your head. And take very good care of yourself. Take care. We'll talk next time. Bye now.